Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
If we are in Christ and Christ is in us, guess what? Then we go to heaven. What will heaven be like? What will you look like? What will I look like? You see, Jesus comes and gives recognition to us through many ways, as he did there in his first appearances, in his resurrected body. His body was human, but yet it was spiritual. He could appear, he could disappear, he could go through walls. But yet we look at that body and see that is the prototype, the type of body that you will have and I will have when we graduate from this earth and go to heaven.
The truth is, your eternal body will be beyond your imagination. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message called A Super Body. He gives a little insight into what heaven will be like and what you can expect from your resurrected body. So stay where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, A Super Body.
We count people in all of our worship services, not interested in numbers, but we're in the people business. We're the church, the body of Christ. How do we count you? You see in your bulletin, you have exact numbers. You say, well, they just estimated how many were there. No, we don't do that. You know, how do we count our worship services? With our cameras. We count everybody. We put you on camera, and we number you by the top of your heads. So we know exactly how many are in all of our services, and we count with accuracy. I never let them give me a complete number. It has to be an odd number. If you say you had 100, tell me you had 99 or 101. You never just have 100. But on Easter Sunday, we had by count more than 54,000 people in our 23 worship services. Now, the problem with that is last Sunday we had 28,000. So we've lost 26,000 in just a little over a week or so. So if you'd locate some of those, it would be appreciated. But Easter is quite a day, isn't it? We gather for worship and we say, Christ is risen.
He is
and then we talk about the assurance of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we moved into a study of heaven and we said that heaven is
real.
It really is. And went back and we asked the question, how do we know that? We went to John chapter 14, which is a great comfort chapter in the Bible. If you want to be comforted, read John 14. Comfort is stacked upon comfort is stacked upon comfort. Martin Luther deals with it over and over in his commentaries. He said it's a great, great chapter when the bottom falls out of your life is John chapter 14. Begins, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house, that is what we call heaven. It's amazing if you look into concordances and you trace the word heaven, it's mentioned 500 plus times in the Bible. Because you see the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven in the Bible is usually synonymous. And therefore, heaven is all over the scriptures. But we think they're just a few isolated chapters and verses that tell us about heaven. Jesus, in the modern prayer, he said, Our Father who art in
heaven,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in
heaven.
So we begin to study heaven, and we have come to the conclusion that heaven is real. And we know that for a lot of reasons. Beginning with John 14, Jesus said, You believe in God, you believe in my Father, you also believe in me. How easy it is to believe in Jesus. You can take an absolute agnostic or skeptic and let them read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the account of the life of Jesus, and you come to the intelligent, unmistakable conclusion that Jesus was one of absolute truthfulness and integrity. Jesus said, In my Father's house in heaven, there's a place prepared for you. He said, When you die or the end of history comes with his second coming, I will come and get you and I will take you there because where you are, that's where I am going to be. And so we begin to study about heaven, and we know when we graduate from this life, if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, guess what? Then we go to heaven. Okay, then the logical question, what kind of bodies will we have in heaven? What will heaven be like? What will you look like? What will I look like? And we immediately go to the prototype of the kind of bodies we'll have, and that's the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. We see that supernatural body that he had, but yet the physical body that he had. We know he would eat, he prepared a fire, he could be touched. We know he communicated with people, and we see the reality there of the resurrected Lord. Now, you look at the 11 appearances of Jesus in the 40 days of his resurrected life on this earth, and three of them, he was not immediately recognized. The open tomb there, Mary Magdalene, she didn't recognize Jesus until he said, Mary. Then he looked up, and she looked up, and there was recognition. Why didn't she recognize him at first? The simple reason is a cultured, godly woman would never look in the face of a strange man in a public place. But when he said Mary, there was recognition. On the road to Emmaus, he was walking along there with these two men who were discouraged, saying the Messiah, they thought, really was the Messiah. And Jesus opened the scriptures and began to exegete prophecy, Old Testament, with these two individuals. By the way, if there's one time I would love to have been present, it'd been right there. Man, just think about it. Walking into the resurrected Lord, he's opened the Old Testament, showing you what this is about, who's it about, the prophecy. What a magnificent moment. But they didn't recognize him. The end of the day, perhaps, they invite him to go into their home, and they recognized him when he did something. He broke the bread, and they said, It is the Lord. And then he was gone. So first of all, he was recognized by voice, Mary Magdalene, then recognized by what he did, the breaking of bread, it is the Lord, and then on the Sea of Galilee. The apostles were fishing. Jesus on the bank, he'd prepared a charcoal fire. He was cooking some fish. He went on the edge. He said, "Guys, have you caught anything?" They said, "No." He said, "Well, throw out on this side of the boat." And they did, and they had a large, large harvest of fish. By the way, the Bible tells us the exact number of fish that they caught. And then one of the apostles said, "It is the Lord." He was recognized because they followed the advice that he gave. You see, Jesus comes and gives recognition to us through many ways, as he did there in his first appearances, in his resurrected body. His body was human, but yet it was spiritual. He could appear, he could disappear, he could go through walls. But yet we look at that body and see that is the prototype, the type of body that you will have and I will have when we graduate from this earth and go to heaven. Now, is there any hint? Is there any shadow in your life and in my life that, you know, we may already have tasted something of the heavenly atmosphere already in this life prior to our death? Let me tell you something. Your face and my face, it's a window to our soul. We see young people in this church. Keith and I talk about this fairly regularly. And we ask about that young person who's brought up in our church. We say, "Well, how is Bill doing?" They say, "You know, we haven't seen Bill lately. What's happened?" "Well, Bill is running around with a new crowd," or "Bill is this." And we say, "Well, what about Bill?" And they say, "The light has gone off in his eyes." Our face, your face is a dead giveaway. And you know, I see men I've known for a long time, but they gradually go deeper and deeper into pornography, and I see something come out of their countenance. And they say, "Well, nobody knows." The face is a window to your soul. Your face is a window to your soul. Somebody who moves away from genuine worship and they get caught up in other activities and other priorities, and you see something happens there. I was going to the hospital a few days ago, and I had Winston with me. I took Winston to see Joe Beth. Man, that was a great reunion. And going out of the hospital, there was this physically beautiful young woman there, and she would not even have given me the time of day, but she paid attention to Winston, and she bent down and was petting him there in the lobby. And I looked at her, and I said, she had everything you'd ask for in physical beauty, but there was a coldness, a jadedness, an emptiness, a hardness that was just overwhelming. And I breathed a little prayer, "Oh God, help this young woman as to where she is today." She had a lot in the showcase, but you could tell there was a void there. You see, the face is a dead giveaway. The eyes are a dead giveaway. It's a window to our heart and our lifestyles. And when you see that dullness begin to appear, that deadness begin to appear, that coldness begins to appear, but by the same token, when you see a young person who falls in love, boy, the light comes on. You see a child that in a moment of ecstasy, that light, in other words, your face and my face is a dead giveaway so many times as to where we are with God and where we are with Christ in this world. It's almost a pre-resurrection scene and picture, your face. Everybody here, you're responsible for your face, your eyes, a window to our heart and our soul and where we are. Our resurrection bodies will be the only prototype we have is a resurrected body of Jesus Christ. But then we've got to ask some questions about this body. How old will you be in heaven? Will it be the age which you died? Will the baby be a baby and a senior citizen be a senior citizen? How old will you be? Well, St. Augustine said we'd all be 30 years old. Thomas Aquinas said we'd all be 33 because that was the age in which Jesus died. I don't think either one of them knew what they were talking about. Let me tell you how old you'll be in heaven. Somebody asked me, how old are you? I say, I'm 41. Somebody asks how old, I tell them, you know, I'm 73. I tell others, you know, I'm 12. Why do you have to give the top number? Would somebody tell me that? We're all of these ages, and in heaven, there'll be a child within us, thank goodness. There'll be maturity within us. There'll be all of those ages within you and within me. In heaven, we'll be ageless. And that's part of the thrilling aspect of heaven. In heaven, we'll always be older than our children. Our parents will always be older than us. But age becomes a non-existent reality because we will be living in timelessness. And we'll talk about that later in our study of heaven, of eternity, and what it means to be beyond time. But we understand in heaven, you'll be the exact right age you'll need to be to accomplish that supernatural task that God will have for every one of his children in heaven. Many, many, many tasks that we will have. How old we'll be in heaven? One question people ask. The other question, what we'll look like in heaven? Will we all of us be Ken and Barbie? Will we all be have sculptured bodies and look like Miss Universe? How boring that will be. Let me tell you what we're going to look like in heaven. You're going to look like the best self that you can imagine. You'll be complete and full and whole, and God is going to take care of that. And some of us are going to look so good, we're not going to recognize each other until there's other moments of recognition. It is not a universality in heaven, but there's a great variety in heaven, and all of us will come to the maximum fullness where our appearance will be obvious to God and obvious to others. In fact, there will be a glow to you and me in heaven that is hard to explain, and we can't even articulate it in this life. Then somebody asks, well, I have five senses in heaven. And the answer is, yes, we'll have all five senses, but we'll have more senses than just five. And the five senses we have, what about the sense of hearing? My goodness, we hear something beautiful like the soloists and the choir today. Just think if our hearing was just maximize what we'd hear. We'd hear the chorus of angels. We would hear beyond our capacity. It would go on and on. Imagine to see. We see something beautiful. Imagine the sense of sight is intensified in density and in scope and understanding and in beauty. Imagine to smell. We could smell wonderful fragrances that we never smelled before. To taste. You think pecan pie and ice cream is good in heaven, our taste will just explode. You see, we take everything here is just a beginning, a sample of what we're going to realize in fullness to heaven. And we'll have more than five senses. Everybody here has more than five senses right now. We don't realize it. We have a sense of balance to various degrees. All of us do. You don't think about that. We have a sense of presence around us, even though we do not see a sense of presence. We have an understanding of where our arms and our bodies are without even thinking about it. We have a sense of time. We don't put that in the equation. We have a sense of pain. And imagine there are 100 or 200 more senses that we'll have in heaven as we're exploded in the reality in our resurrected body. Just imagine that. You say, well, explain some of those. How would you explain to somebody who's never heard what it means to hear? Try that. They've never heard anything. You try to explain to him, you know that, you try to explain to somebody who's never seen what it means to see. We see these studies with Helen Keller and other personalities. It's hard. How can we understand today the other senses we'll have available to us in our supernatural resurrected bodies? So the prototype is Jesus. We think, and there we are. We move, We're supernatural bodies. That's what we have to picture in heaven. We'll say, well, where do you get all of this stuff? Listen. Look in 1 Corinthians 15, just a few verses. It says it clearly. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body, supernatural body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. The first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As the earthy, so also are those who are earthy, that's us, and as in heavenly, so also those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of earthy, we'll also bear the image of heavenly. We have our earth bodies, we have our supernatural heavenly bodies. Those who are in Christ, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, let me say this in a memorable way. Does anybody in here think let's just pick a year, 1939, and the name Billy Batson? Does anybody know how that name came into a degree of prominence in 1939? Don't guess. Somebody said Billy the Kid. No. Does anybody know Billy Batson? Does that name mean anything? A sense of prominence? I'm going to give away a Honda if you can come up with this. Anybody? Billy Batson, 1939. Who said Captain Marvel? Get your Honda. Keith will give it to you after the service. It's one he's been driving for about 10 years now, I think. How in the world? I've asked that to about 10,000 people today. How did you know that? You have what? You have 4,000 comic books. He's very rich.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Not too fast, am I? You get it? You sow a lot, you reap a lot. You sow a little, you don't get much back. When you are in love with stuff, you will go through life with a closed fist. But if you keep your hands open, you will experience more contentment and joy than you ever thought imaginable. If you want to live with open hands, you may need to begin with a bowed knee. Ask God to help you unclench your fist, and He'll do that for you. Then thank Him, praise Him for all that He's given you, and ask Him how you can use what He has blessed you with to be, get this, a blessing to others.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you. And we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who He is, what He did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, He spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for joining us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Dr. Young's message, A Super Body, and hear more about God's ultimate plan for your body.